all offspring of the consort of the great Lord Maheshwara of this mundane world are the nature of the embodiment of the mundane masculine and feminine generative organs. In other words, another way to say it is every living entity in the material creation is produced by the sexual union of male and female organs. Birds do it, trees, people, everybody. This is the whole everything. The male, that's why they say this male, this purusha and prakriti, male and female organs. There's male, there's masculine and feminine organs in flowers and in plants and even in, you know, microbes and paramecium and everywhere down, up and down the genus and species of life. Purport. The full quadrantal extension of the Supreme Lord is His Majesty. Right? That means that the Supreme Lord controls everything materially, the whole material creation and the whole spiritual world. The full quadrantal, right? We say, sometimes you say Tripad Vibhuti, right? So Tripad, one-fourth of the creation is the material world, three-fourths of the creation is the spiritual world, right? You heard these terms before. 75%, this is just one little cloud in the total spiritual world, and one little dark cloud is the material creation, that's one-fourth. So the quadrantal, the full quadrantal extension of the Supreme Lord is His Majesty. A very lofty way of saying the Supreme Lord controls everything, the material creation, the entire spiritual world. Okay? Of this, the quadrantal extensions of lamenting, non-perishing, and non-apprehending situations constitute the majesties of the realms of Vaikuntha and Goloka, etc. So you know what that means? Yeah. It means that lamentation, apprehension, and death are absent in the spiritual world, which is three-fourths of the Lord's domain. In other words, down where we are, down in this place, there's apprehension, which means there's unsurety, and there's lamentation, and mrityu sarvaharaschaham, death, right? There's no death in the spiritual world, there's no apprehension, fear, no lamentation, shoka, right? In this temporal realm of Maya, devas and men, etc., all these together with all mundane worlds are the great majesties of the limited potencies. In other words, in the illusory material world, all living entities are under control of Maya. In the illusory world, all living entities are under the control of Maya. Next sentence. All these entities are embodiments of the masculine and feminine organs of generation by the distinction of efficient and material causal principles. In other words, they are produced by the process of sexual intercourse between the male and female organs of generation. So you can read the rest of this paragraph if you want to tie your brain in a variety of various knots, square knots, you know, any kind of knot you can think of. You can read that on your own, and meanwhile, I'll read it on my side from like this. This is a rewording of this, the rest of this purport. Modern science has proven that all living entities, including animals, trees, plants, and even insentient beings, which means molecules, atoms, etc., are produced by the union of male and feminine principles, positive and negative, all these, you can say positive and negative when you talk about insentient or non-living matter, a combination of molecules, atoms, etc. When you talk about living things, then they use the term male and female. All that's mentioned in this verse is the word linga and yoni means male and female organs. It seems somewhat vulgar in a But in a scientific context, the exposition, or the, you know, what's being described here, is based on the principle of sexuality, is most appropriate and excellent for clearly showing the elementary principle of creation. In other words, behind it all, that's why we have these, you know, 1920s, there was a German philosopher, Sigmund Freud, and he was analyzing, just was somewhat fairly, some good accuracy, although he was wrong at many points, but he kind of boiled everything, he said everything boils down to sex life, to this principle. So he analyzed, you know, psychologically how everything is, you know, due to, you know, sex inhibition or sex this, that, and, you know, he went a little bit overboard. But the original, the whole universe, in other words, as above, so below, so everything here is a reflection of that original kama bijam, dara, or dara, that desire of Mahavishnu or Krishna. The primordial, in other words, the oldest original, the primordial principle of the material world is the illusory seed of desire, kama bijam. The terms linga and yoni in this verse, number 9, simply refer to the predominating potency, in other words, the controlling, or masculine active potency, and the predominated or receptive potency, or female potency. In other words, some, you know, in other words, there's the aggressor and the receptor. In other words, you know, the combination. So the original creative desire has a spiritual source. The transcendental kama bij, the original seed of sex desire, is seen in the activities of Krishna and the gopis. This pure selfless desire is perversely or reflected in the material world among the selfish desires of the jivas to exploit and enjoy. The original pure seed of enjoyment is within Krishna and the gopis. The combination of Shiva and Durga, or Linga and Yoni principle, is based on selfish sense gratification of mundane sex attraction. The effect always contains qualities of its cause. Therefore, everything in the material universe is tinged with selfishness. All the female principle. We're all the predominated. We're not the predominators. Krishna is the supreme controller. Ekala Ishvara Krishna. Arasabhya Britya. So when we say there's one Ishvara, it means there's one predominator. There's one Purusha, Krishna. Everyone else is actually Prakriti. Whether you're exhibiting a male form of a coward boy, or the form of the mother, or the form of Sakhi or Manjri, whatever, everyone is predominator controlled by Krishna. So this is kind of what we're comparing and contrasting here between the spiritual world, where you have this original kama bijam and the original Kandarpa Raj, Krishna, the transcendental Cupid, and his relationships with the gopis and sakis of Vrindavan, versus the relationship of Mahadev, although he's Mahadev, Shiva and Parvati. There's a tinge of this tamagun. Tamagun means selfishness. So you see, that's why Jiva Goswami is mentioning here in this verse number 9, he's discussing Linga and Yoni, that's the verse, and then he talks about this seed of desire is the basis of it all. The basis of it all is, in other words, he says, in the effect, you will have something from the cause. So the cause is Mahavishnu's desire. But what was Mahavishnu's desire? Remember his desire? Remember we were talking about what was his desire? His desire wasn't like to enjoy, but his desire was that all the living entities are with me, and within my body is Mahavishnu, and they're engaging in these pastimes of Srishti Leela. I don't think they're enjoying so much this, you know, samsara chakra. My desire is that they really find happiness and really find unlimited bliss and rasa and pleasure by entering into the Nitya Leela, into the Nitya Leela of the spiritual world, and by Kunta Dham with me and all of my other liberated souls, and the land of self-forgetfulness, and the land of self-dedication and selflessness. And then you see, when you read about the perfection of desire, perfection of relationships between Krishna and the gopis, it's extraordinary, it's inconceivable. Because we have our perverted reflection here in this material world, men and ladies, you know, husbands and wives, etc. This represents the Madhurya Ras, or the relationship between Parvati and Shambhu, which is discussed here in text 9. But who could ever conceive, just try to hypothetically imagine this situation, that the husband, he's very handsome, powerful, opulent, strong, beautiful, expert in all arts and everything. He's with his beautiful wife, and she's very beautiful and expert in all arts and of intimacy, and they're enjoying. And then the wife says, "Oh, actually, you know, I'm quite satisfied, you know, but there's so many other ladies, you know, that are lonely in the city here tonight, you know, and you're such a powerful, handsome, beautiful person. Maybe, why don't you go visit all those ladies and make them happy too?" Can you imagine? Can you imagine any lady having that idea, or any guy or any husband saying, "Oh yeah, sure, whatever you say, you know." In other words, there's total selflessness, you know, in Krishna himself, and of course in Radharani and all his expansions. So this is the actual, when you read in the 10th canto of Bhagavatam or Krishna book, which is clearly revealed there, the nature of the relationships there, there's total inconceivable achintya, selflessness. There's desire there, but the desire is to please Krishna. To please Krishna, or in this case, it's like Krishna's other aspect, to please Radharani. To please Radharani, Krishna will do anything, and to please Krishna, Radharani will do anything. And that verse, and those verses are brought out in Chaitanya Leela in a more specific and clear way, in Anti Leela, where we find even more the inner bhav in this pure desire. What is this selflessness? What does it mean? Now we hear terms like in the depths of the ocean of bhakti, which we're swimming in or floating in or treading water in, we hear terms like guru bhakti or guru nishtha, because guru bhakti and guru nishtha is kind of like the plane of dipping your toes into the ocean of the spiritual world. It's like dipping, you know, your anguli, your padanguli, your toes into the ocean of selflessness. It kind of begins with the conception of guru bhakti, but that's very rare to see in this world. And if you ever find Srila Prabhupada and some of his senior followers, or you can say disciples, and you read about it in the early days, there was incredible selfless dedication. You know, grihasthas, you know, married men and women, they were saying, "Okay, later for family, later for kids." I mean, in the early days of ISKCON, there were very few children, really. I mean, we had a few gurukuls here and there. People's main business was selflessly, husbands and wives were going into different countries and opening temples and preaching and everything for Prabhupada and nothing for us. There was no such thing as grihasthas in their own kitchens. There were like major, you know, discussions would be brought before Prabhupada. "Well, Prabhupada, I have some health problems. We're thinking that maybe my wife and I, we may cook separately and not eat in the temple with the brahmacharis." I was like, wow, that was a revolutionary discussion for the world of ISKCON. You know, that the grihasthas would not eat in the temple. And everyone's saying, "What? What kind of ancient history is that?" You know, and it sounds extraordinary. So this is all under the category of guru bhakti. I know. It's incredible that Prabhupada had such, you know, he was such an exalted guru, and he had such exalted grihastha followers, and, you know, whatever followers, brahmacharis, sannyasis, etc., that they would be so selfless. So then, when you have seen that with your eye-to-eye, hand-to-hand experience of, you know, seeing real guru bhakti and really selfless souls and bumping shoulders with them and thinking, "Gee, I'm not like that. You know, I need a lot of stuff for me and a lot of room for me and a lot of, you know, I'm not so selfless." And then you read the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Anti Leela, and say, "Wow, phew. Well, there's a big difference between me and the way I feel and the way I desire and the way I think and the way the Brijbasi, that, you know, it says you're supposed to follow in the footsteps of the residents of Vrindavan. Following in the footsteps means you have to develop the seva bhava. First your mind has to follow in the mind steps. Before you can follow in, your body can follow in the footsteps, your mind has to follow in the mind steps. You have to think like them, feel like them, will like them. You know, when, you know, Okabe Habe Bolo Sage in Amar, when will that day be? Forget about following the footsteps. That means your mind has already taken shape of that Seva Bhav. You know, then your body goes where your mind is. First your mind goes there, then your body goes, isn't it? Your mind thinks, I have to go to the milk shop and get myself a lassi because, you know, or no, this, I can't get my lassis because we're on a yogurt fast. Oh, well, I should have done it yesterday or whatever. You know, so your mind sets some, you know, important desire like, you know, I got to get out of here and get some cake before it's all gone. And so then, you know, that's important. You know, it's an important thing. So as soon as the class is over, then your body's in, you're in gear. You're like on your way. Excuse me, Krishna, you know, Krishna, oh, wait a minute, I'm bored, I got a meeting, you know. You know, and you go down there to buy that last piece of cake. So the mind is set, and then the body moves in the footsteps. So there, in the Antalila, you read where Radharani says, Mahaprabhu in the mood of this, you know, showing us, like, here, you want to see the spiritual world? Here, I'll show you a little, I have a little pocket TV, you can see the spiritual world, see? So Mahaprabhu shows the clear darshan, you know, tattva darshan, antaradrishti. This is the spiritual world. You want to see the spiritual world? You want to see the heart of the spiritual world? The heart of the spiritual world is Srimati Radharani's heart. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu showed that in full technicolor, you know, five dimensions, you know, the widescreen color, you know, ultrasound, not ultrasound, what do they call it? Quadraphonic sound, everything, stereo, everything. Wraparound sounds. You know, virtual reality and everything. And then, so then Radharani prays, oh, my dear Lord Krishna, if my unhappiness gives you happiness and makes you happy, then that unhappiness that I'm experiencing becomes my greatest source of happiness. This one's verse is there, which is basically a reflection of the verse Ashlishyamam Padaratam Panashyamam Adarshanam Mamatam Garotava, which is in the Shikshastakam, which is the Mahabhav. That verse is Mahabhav, which is the top. This is the topmost, most concentrated, you know, liquid concentrated form of prema to be conceived of, heard of, thought of. Is a selfless dedication of Srimati Radharani's pure heart. So this is the plane of the pure transcendental Kama Beach. This is the place of Linga and Yoni. This is the original. That's why we're saying that this everything is reflected. The beginning of the reflection of the perversion begins with Mahavishnu transforming himself into Shambhu, which is like milk transforming into yogurt. And Ramadevi transforming herself into Durga, then Shambhu and Durga combine, and everyone else is just reflecting that. Selfishness, that's what it says here. The effect always, you know what effect, right? A cause and effect, everyone knows that. The effect always contains qualities of its cause. Therefore, everything in the material world is tinged with selfishness. It's an important sentence, Jiva Goswami. It's actually what we call sutra. No, no, my wife is selfless. She's serving me selflessly. No, no, my mother, she's selfless. She has no selfishness. Oh, yeah? Join the Hare Krishna temple and then see. You say your mother's selfless, she's selfless, she doesn't have, you know. And you want to become, you're in India and you want to become a Hare Krishna. Hey, what's this? You know, we raised you like this. You can't do this. You know, all of a sudden she becomes so selfish and so possessive. Hey, you have to do what I want. I want you to get married. I want you to go to school. Oh, I see. I thought you were selfless. Selfless means everything for you, nothing for me. I have no desire. What do you want? What makes you happy? What makes you grow and thrive and expand and enjoy? And you know, but then you'll find out that actually, in one sense, parents are the most loving, the most dedicated, and the most selfish. That's my experience, you know, I'm seeing that. Selfishness means control. That's selfishness. Control. Control to fulfill my desire is selfishness. So when the parents want to control to fulfill their desire, that's selfishness. What's their desire? Listen, Sunil, my desire, look, you know, you just finished, you have your degree in math, you have a nice job. My desire is, you know, the family, you know, we have to continue the Agarwal dynasty. You know, we have a nice girl lined up here, and you know, this in our Gotra, and she's very nice, and you should get married. And where are you going, little crazy? You want to be a Hare Krishna sadhu, you know, and wear saffron? What is, you know, are you trying to ruin our dynasty? You know, what do you, look at this, look at the wall. There's your grandfather and your great-grandfather, right? You know, they follow this path, you know. Griham and the Kupam, you know. Nunam pramantak krute vikarma yad indriya pratyap vinoti. So you must follow. See, we'll put your picture up there also. No, he lived and died and did nothing. He lived and died and did nothing. He lived and died and did nothing. And then you will live and die and do nothing. So why are you trying to break the tradition and become a sadhu and mukti pat and liberation? What is this? This is not part of Agarwal life. Oh, I see. Acha. You know, one thing about us I've learned, my dear father, is that I have a little brain. And I just figured out that you're really selfish. See, you understand me? Selfishness means I control you for my purposes. That's selfishness. Like the wife wants to do something, the husband says, no, you must do what I say. I go, hey, wait a minute. You told me when I was married you'd give me everything I want. And as soon as I want to do something that I want, hey, wait a minute, I'm the boss around here. So the spiritual world is not like that. Because you see, it's not that, well, then everyone says, well, wait a minute. Krishna's selfish because, you know, everyone's doing everything for him. But no, he's selfless himself. Because the principle of total selflessness, which is embodied in Srimati Radharani, well, who's Srimati Radharani? She's his Shakti. There's no difference between Krishna and Radharani. They're one. Eki Atma Dui Deha. They are one. That's what Mahaprabhu teaches. They're not two. They're one. So if Radharani is so selfless, then what about Krishna? He's also selfless. He also serves Radharani's feet, and he paints black dye on her feet, and he puts kunkum on her, and he, you know, sometimes she's in a swadina bratrika mood. Hey, you know, dress me. Look at me. You know, I'm all, fix me back up nice because my girlfriends are coming, and you know, I want to look nice. You know, girls like to look nice in front of other girls, right? You don't go on outlook, you know. You know. Everyone wants to look super pretty, and then they look, oh, hey, nice sari. Hey, how much it cost? You know? Oh, 10,000 rupees. No. So they, you know, every girl wants to look really pretty and everything. It's not, partially for the husband and the boys and everything. Okay, that's obvious. But also for the Sakhi Samaj. And also when the other girls see, they say, hey, nice, first class, looking good. Yeah, you too. Men too, men are the same way, same. So then Radharani, she's saying, hey, you know, what's this? Oh, smudge, messed, everything, picks up. Yeah, yes. You know, brushes her hair and puts everything back nice and, you know, all Sringar. It's called Sringar Seva. And where's the place that goes on? Sringar Bhat. Nityananda Bhat. It's right near Radhadama. It's all part of Rasaliya. They're dancing in Ras and Krishna leaves with the gopis and he's going to Radharani. Then they sit down there and then they're enjoying different pastimes in Yamuna's side. Then she says, oh, dress me nice. And so they dress and then again they meet the Sakis that go Govinda God and then they go over, they wander over to another side and then they're in. And then Vishaka says, Lalita says, I'm thirsty, so Krishna digs a well, and that's in Seva Kunja. That's all Rasastali. We go there, it's all streets and buildings, and all this Seva Kunja, and this is Sringar Bhat. It's all cut up in these little, you know, apartment houses or something. It's not like that. It's all Lila Stali. And as Krishna's moving, he's walking, he goes to Bamshivat, and they all come there, then they wander along Yamuna Pulin, and then he leaves them, and then he goes to Radharani, then they end up at Sringarvad, and then they meet again the Sakis at Govindagat, and pushes back towards Keshigat, and then they go wander some more, and then they end up all of a sudden they're over in what we call Seva Kunj, you know, Lalita Kund, all the monkeys jumping around, you know, Lalita Kund. So in Seva Kunj, there's Lalita Kund. And so Lita says, oh, you know, Sham, I'm thirsty, you know, so I'm dancing so much. And okay, sure, you know.
So she's controlling him, Radharani's controlling him, and he says he's a selfless servant. So this is the spiritual world. Text 10. Okay? Text 10. Shaktiman Purusha Soyam Linga Rupi Maheshwara Tasmin Avir Avira Bhulinge Mahavishnur Jagatpate. This is about Shambhu. Translation. The person embodying the material causal principle, namely, the great lord of this mundane world, in other words, Maheshwara or Shambhu, in the form of the male-generating organ, is joined to his female consort, the limited energy, Maya, as the efficient causal principle. The lord of the world, Mahavishnu, is manifest in him by his subjective portion in the form of his glance. Maheshwara Shambhu, the male principle of the efficient cause representing the primal male organ, is united with the instrumental cause represented by his Maya potency, or by the Maya potency of Mahavishnu. Mahavishnu partially advents himself within Lord Shiva by casting of his glance. That's what all it says. So, I think I have some other notes on this verse. Okay, purport. Okay, read the purport here. In the transcendental atmosphere, Paravyom, where spiritual majesty predominates, there is present Srinarayan, who is not different from Krishna. That can also be said that Lord Narayan lives in the Paravyom, the spiritual world, which is predominated by awe and reverence. Aishvarya Gyan. All right, we talk about Aishvarya. Spiritual majesty means Aishvarya. Mahasankarshan, subjective plenary facsimile of the extended personality of Sri Narayan, is also the divine plenary portion of the propagatory embodiment of Sri Krishna. That's so amazing. So, who can describe what that is? Basically, it's who is Mahasankarshan is what it's describing. There is Krishna, then he expands to Balaram. Then Balaram, he expands into the Chaturvyuha. The Chaturvyuha is Vasudev, which is Krishna. Then there's Sankarshan, Aniruddha, and Pradyumna. That Sankarshan, so it's Krishna to Balaram, from Balaram to Sankarshan, right? And that Sankarshan expands into Mahasankarshan. Look down there, see? Mahasankarshan. And Mahasankarshan, he expands into the Purushavatar, Mahavishnu. And Mahavishnu expands into Garbhadakshaya Vishnu, Shirdakshaya. Okay? That's all that says. Mahasankarshan is one of Krishna's Chaturvyuha quadruple expansions. The next sentence. By the power of his spiritual energy, a plenary subjective portion of him, eternally reposing in a neutral stream of Viraja, forming the boundary between the spiritual and mundane realms, cast his glance at creation onto the limited shadow potency Maya, who is located far away from himself. This is all repeating stuff, actually. In other words, Mahasankarshan expands as Mahavishnu, lies down in the causal ocean, which is called the Viraja, or the Karana Samudra, which is between the material and spiritual world, right? We drew that picture on the wall, on the blackboard, remember? The other day. So at the time of creation, Mahavishnu glances towards the distant shadow Maya potency. At that moment, Shambhu unites with Maya under the sanction and empowerment of Mahavishnu. This is all kind of repetition. So that, what I'm going to do is, this next part, I'm just going to summarize with these two sentences instead of reading it. You can read it yourself, what it says, but this is what it says in summary. The Mahatattva appears only when Mahavishnu sanctions the function of Maya and Pradhan. With Mahavishnu's sanction, the Shiva potency progressively creates ego, ahankara, panchabhuta, which is the five elements, right? Air, ether, air, fire, water, etc. The tanmatra, which are the sense objects and the senses of the conditioned souls. The individual souls or jivas emanate as particles of the rays of the effulgence of Mahavishnu and their rays of consciousness, atomic chit shakti or particles of consciousness. See the last sentence? The constituent particles in the form of pencils of effulgence of Mahavishnu are manifest as individual souls, jivas. This will be elaborated, this is discussed in later purports. So according to Brahma Samhita at least, because this is not a class on the origin of the jiva, and I'm not about to enter into those troubled waters, trying to make some progress in the Bhakti Samudra, ocean of Bhakti. But at any rate, according to the version of the book we're holding in our hand, says that the jivas, the tattva jivas, are pens that emanate from Mahavishnu, from the causal ocean. If I have any notes on that. Mahavishnu is lying in Viraja River. All this is happening because of his will. That's the ultimate factor. It's his Icha Shakti. When Shambhu impregnates Maya, the first thing that comes is false ego. Then everything else created by them has the same principle. We have to change our understanding, not so much Indian people. Indian people have to change their angle of vision, but not their understanding. Well, their understanding a little bit. But in the Bhagavatam, it illuminates very clearly the position of Lord Shiva and the relationship between Lord Shiva and sadhana and sadhakas. And it also solves the riddle why persons like Sanatana Goswami and Raghunath Das Goswami and the other Goswamis, they were so interested in taking darshan of Shiva in the Chaitanya Mangal and also in Chaitanya Bhagavat. You find elaborate discussions about Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu visiting every single Shiva temple in India, practically, on his 6-year tour of South India. His most prominent experience was in Bhuvaneshwar, Ekanamra, because there used to be a million Shiva temples in Bhuvaneshwar. And in that place, he went to the Lingaraj temple, which unfortunately we Mlechas and Yavanas aren't allowed inside, but we can see from outside, or we can go around the wall of it and climb up some places, look inside. In that temple, Lord Chaitanya went into ecstasy to see the wonderful puja of his devotee, because Shiva, of course, is a devotee of the Lord. And you can see his expansion of Mahavishnu, and he serves the Lord in the work of creation. So he's a devotee, he does his service, he's a part of the Srishti Tattva, or creation. So Lord Chaitanya was so happy to see the wonderful puja was going on in Lingaraj, he started dancing in just an ecstasy. And in his ecstasy, he spoke a beautiful prayer called the Shivastikam. Now it's recorded by Murari Gupta in the diary, because so many of the Mayapur Vasis were touring with him, coming with him from Mayapur in their 2-month journey or 1-month journey down to Puri for the Rath Yatra and Chaturmasya. So then he wrote down the Shivastikam. It's in Murari Gupta's Karchar diary. That's been translated. It'll be published in English in the next, maybe 3-4 months. And the Shivastakam by Lord Chaitanya, it very beautifully depicts the actual position and role of Lord Shiva in terms of being Bhakti Pradayate. And then there's one verse where it says, Lord Shiva is always chanting. It almost sounds like that prayer, Sri Krishna Govinda Hare Murari Hey Nata Narayana Vasudeva, famous verse. I forget. I think Narada Muni or someone spoke it. I forget. Someone told me. But it's a very famous verse. You hear a lot of people sing it. Sri Krishna Govinda Hare Murari Hey Nata Narayana Vasudeva. But there's actually that shloka was sung by Narada at a particular time, or by Narada when he had darshan of Narayan when he's meditating, or there's some history, there's itihas of that. It's a very famous and bona fide chant. At any rate, that in Lord Chaitanya Shivastakam, he says that Lord Shiva is always chanting Sri Krishna Govinda or something like similar mantra. Anyway, I'll cite these verses. Because Lord Shiva is a very, these prayers, the Shivastakam, are wonderful. Very, very wonderful. And of course, Sanatana Goswami, he discusses Lord Shiva very nicely in Brihad Bhagavatamrita. Very nice description of Lord Shiva. And that book is coming out by BBC maybe, I don't know, next year, I suppose. I don't know, maybe this year or next year. And then you can learn more about Lord Shiva. But these verses in Prabhupada's books shed a lot of light on it and help us. Because Prabhupada, in this particular purport, in one verse, citation here, he says that Lord Shiva, he controls the false ego. So if one wants to get free from the, if one wants to get free from the influence of the false ego, he should pray to Lord Shiva and worship Lord Shiva. I mean, usually people worship Lord Shiva for dhanam dehi, janam dehi. They want dhanam and janam. They want money and power and influence and position and political prestige and all these things. They worship Vaishnavi or Shiva or all these devatas for money and position and power and health and all these things. But you know, we worship him for prema and for bhakti. So the biggest impediment of prema, with the first thing was created, the whole idea we're talking about here is the first creation. When Shambhu united with Durga is Ahankar. And so the lord of Ahankar is Sankarshan, and Sankarshan is the Ishtadeva of Mahadev, Lord Shiva. And Sankarshan, of course, one of the expansions of Sankarshan is Anantashesh. Anantashesh is represented as a cobra, right? You know, Anantashesh holding up the universe on his head. So Lord Shiva, he's wearing his Ishtadeva around his neck. You know, around his neck he has Sankarshan, around his arms. Those are his murtis. Just like some people, they wear a little Giriraj shield around their neck, or they have a little Viman, a Chandi Viman, and they carry Shalagrams, like the Sri Vaishnavas. They have a Chandi Viman. It's Viman, like a little airplane, it's silver, and inside they have a Shalagram, their family Shalagram. Whenever they travel, they carry a Shalagram, because they have to cook, you know, when they're moving, and they have to have Vishnu Prasad. So Grihasthas always offer their food to Shalagram. Or some people carry Jagannath around their neck, or they carry Giriraj, or Lokanath Goswami, he used to carry who? So Lokanath Goswami, he used to carry a deity of Radhavinod around his neck, and Radhavinod now is living in Jayapur, upstairs with a little Bengali family up there above the sari shops in Tripoli Bazaar. And the deity of Vinodji, he's about this big, and he's black stone, maybe marble or black granite, and he probably weighs about 20 kilos. And Lokanath Goswami, he's carrying around his neck, you know. And he found him at Kishori Kund, he appeared. So, those verses you can read from Srimad Bhagavatam, and appreciate, and when this Marai Gupta's diary comes out, you can read the whole description of that prayer. It's a very nice prayer, Shivastakam. Third canto, chapter 6, verse 25, and chapter 26, verse 21 and 62. Third canto. Then fourth canto, chapter 24, verse 44. Tenth canto, chapter 88, verse 5. And there's also a book. And then there's a chapter
about, was it chapter 16, I think it is. There's a section about, in the Goswamis and Temples of Vrindavan, chapter 16, all about Gopishwar Mahadev, the appearance of Gopishwar, the glories of Mahadev, Lord Chaitanya and Lord Shiva, honoring Lord Shiva, visiting Gopishwar Mahadev temple. And in there, there's a lot of things about Lord Shiva. Okay, any questions or comments? Shankara Bhagavan ki, Gopishwar Mahadeva ki, Sri Krishna Balaram ki. Because, you know, Balaram, who's Balaram, is the source of Lord Shiva. So today is Balaram's day, so to talk about Shambhu and Lord Shiva is very wonderful, because Balaram is the source of the whole thing. Balaram, all these personalities, if we want to attain the service of Krishna, you need the mercy of Balaram, or the mercy of Nittai, Nityananda Ram. So Balaram, Purnamasi, Yogamaya, Gopishwar, Mahadev, and all the Yamunaji, Giriraj, these are all our friends. We're surrounded by friends. Why are you crying? Why are you lamenting? So many friends. Yamunaji is over here, Giriraj is over here, Shankar is everywhere, all around the place. Shiva's everywhere, Balaram's here, Purnamasi, Yogamaya, they're all here to bless us and bring us to this point of Prema Bhakti. When you're living amongst friends, what is your anxiety? Heaven without friends is hell, and hell with friends is heaven. Vanchakopa Dhruvyas Chak.